Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
8:03 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. When did you fall in love with sports as a kid? Want to get out to the phone lines right now. Let's go to East Baltimore and get Damon. What's up, Damon?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
It's a two-part situation with me. When I was young, WrestleMania 3, when Hulk Hogan slammed Andre the Giant.
It's a good one.
And the second one was when I was a kid also with my grandfather watching the 49ers against the Bengals when Jennings ran the kickoff back and then Montana sent them on a 92-yard drive to John Taylor in the end zone. That's when I fell in love.
That was, I think, the 1988 season, but 89 Super Bowl, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that's a good one.
Joe said in my ear that it's not real. It's not a sport, wrestling.
You see, it is sport entertainment.
Yeah.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Sports entertainment. Let's go to Nick in Baltimore. What's up, Nick?
Hey, how's it going, gents?
Going well. How are you, man?
January 2nd, 1994. Watching as a kid, Emmitt Smith separates his shoulder against the Giants.
The Giants, yep.
Goes into the locker room, comes out. My father, who's a Raiders fan, my brother, who's a Raiders fan. Actually, I grew up on Long Island, so you would think Giants or Jets didn't really matter. He came out. My father said, that guy's a real man right there. Forget it. Cowboys fan forever. Loved Emmitt and fell in love with football. That was it.
I remember that game. I do. That was a John Madden game.
Isn't it how funny how impressionable you are as a kid? And uh-huh. They can, like, a lot of, like, some of the things you're taught, whether you want to talk about sports, your dad's fandom, mm-hmm. Or somebody in the family's fandom, maybe you had an uncle or even your mom was like into this team or went to college here, and then all of a sudden you become a fan of those teams.
Yeah, you're right. Or, you know, like, I hated my stepdad. He was a Redskins fan. So that's why I became a Cowboys fan. Let's go to Al in Columbia. I was petty even then. What's up, Al?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I'm a little bit older than you guys, but I go back. I lived on Adelphi Street in Brooklyn.
I couldn't tell you were from Brooklyn at all, Al.
Yeah. Adelphi Street's where, well, I went to high school that way.
For some reason, my mother and father were in home with me and my brother were home. And we were fortunate enough to grow up right next door to a playground, you know, brims and all that other stuff. Anyway, we started listening to the Yankee game on the steps. It was an afternoon game. They were playing the Tigers. And we listened to about 12 innings, and my brother said, Alfred, come on, let's go upstairs and have something to eat. So we went and had something to eat, and we turned the TV back on, and they were still playing. It was like the 15th inning. Finally, Jack Reed, who came in for Mickey Mantle, in the 22nd inning, hit a two-run homer, and the Yankees won 9-7. And ever since that day, I've been a Yankee fan, and that's my memory of the day.
From,
and Ed, we also have something in common that we both went to Marine Park.
Oh, if I played for the Hurricanes,
yeah,
Marine Park.
Well, he can be a Yankee fan. He's from Brooklyn.
And sir, you said you're a little bit older than us. You meant Rob and myself, right? Not Ed. I look older than everyone, but
Chris and Dundalk. What's up, Chris?
Good morning, fellas.
How you doing, man?
Started playing baseball when I was 5 or 6. But as far as fandom and watching sports. 1997, I was at Memorial Stadium with my dad watching a Ravens game. He was in a Ravens sweatshirt, but I was rocking my bowl cut with a Dan Marino Miami Dolphins jersey. So it started as being a big Dan Marino fan, but then it really grew when the Ravens won the Super Bowl in 2000. I was 13. That's when I became a hometown fan. So that's my story.
There you go. Thanks a lot, my man. 410-583-1057. When did you fall in love with sports as a kid? Is that Ari? Ari in Baltimore. Ari, what's up, Ari?
Nothing. Good morning.
Good morning.
So also a two-part story. I moved to Indiana in 1998, where my best friend of now 24 years introduced me to football with a Nerf football, wiffle ball, baseball, everything. Both my parents are still shocked that the immigrant child in me became a sports fan and a sports fanatic. First game we went to was 1998. Throwback. It was Notre Dame versus Air Force. I went to my first college football game. It was a lost field goal to send it to overtime, and then Enderall to Joey Getherall to win the game in overtime. And ever since that, we were at every single ND home game for 10 years together. We played wiffle ball, football, basketball, everything together. We ran track together. That was my best friend getting me into all sports.
Hey, thanks a lot, Ari. Let's go to Ken in Owings Mills. What's up, Ken? When did you fall in love with sports?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Great question.
Thank you.
And when I was growing up, my mom worked on the weekend, so I went with my aunt and uncle, and they did church on Sunday. And I mean, they did church. We went to church from 6 a.m.
See, when you say you did church, I know how long. You probably ate dinner at church, too, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
I got
yes,
you. That's how we were growing up. Yep, I got you.
Yeah. But my uncle would stick his, you know, he would have a spot there, and we would go watch the game, you know, in church. In the afternoon, you know, in between. But when I first saw Terry Bradshaw throwing passes to Lynn Swann and John Stallworth, that's when I fell in love.
Hey, thanks a lot, my friend. That was a pretty thing. Lynn Swann going up on the sidelines, Ed.
The bobble catch?
Yeah, all the catch. I mean, just ballerina.
Well, the one against the Cowboys in the Super Bowl, that was the one that's remembered.
Yeah, unbelievable. Let's go to Valerie in White Marsh. Good morning, Valerie. What did you fall in love with sports?
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well.
Hi. Hi, Rob. This is Valerie. I met you at the Community College Hall of Fame a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay. How are you?
I'm good. So falling in love with sports.
You were inducted too, right?
Yes. You were nice enough to have your picture taken with me.
Yes, I remember now.
No, you were nice enough to have your picture taken with him.
Hey, Jeremy, you know what? I don't agree with Jeremy often, but I agree with him in this situation. No, shut up. Go ahead, Valerie.
It was the late 80s. I started watching Baltimore Orioles, fell in love with Rick Dempsey and the team, had his jersey, got to meet him, and then several years later, watching football with a bunch of boys, because I was a tomboy. At first, I didn't like football, and it was because I didn't understand it. And as soon as I understood the rules, just totally fell in love with it. So always been an Orioles fan and a big Ravens fan ever since.
Thanks a lot, Valerie. Appreciate it. And you're right. I had a picture, had a chance to take a picture with her. She was actually an athlete. Mm-hmm. I just stood on the sidelines telling people what to do. That's how I got it. Let's go to Edgewood and get Ryan. Ryan, when did you fall in love with sports?
Hey, good morning, guys. It was probably about the fall of 86. The American League Championship, the National League Championship, and the 86 World Series. I was into baseball, but once I watched that, I fell in love with baseball completely. And the following year, probably about 86, 87, I saw that burgundy and gold. Art Monk, Gary Clark, fell in love with ever since. Been burgundy and gold ever since.
Art Monk, he was a great one, wasn't he? He was absolutely great. Let's take one more. Let's go to Essex. Will, what's up, Will?
What's up, fellas?
How you doing, man?
Hey, Ed.
Yeah.
April 9th, 2005, Ultimate Fighter Season 1 finale, Stephen Bonner, Forrest Griffin.
It's a great fight.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's when you fell in love?
That's when I fell in love with the UFC.
Okay. All right. The UFC is awesome. It is awesome. That was. It still is awesome.
It is. It is.
410-583-1057 is the number. What you got to say, Jeremy? You got something to say.
I don't have anything to say to you. Not anymore. How much time we have left in the show? Do I have to talk to him again?
Chris Nanaki joins us at 8:30. You know what that means, right? It means at 8:26, Joe will come over here and ask me for his number. But on the other side, it's the world of stupid. What you got, Jeremy?
Someone from a state that will not be named tried to rob a Publix with something that I don't think you can rob anything.
Florida,
with.
Publix.
That's where Publix is.
It's Florida. We're going to talk about George Santos and what he did. Scumbag. This guy, I should say allegedly did, because this guy has so many lies. You know this one already. Yeah. Oh, God, it's so bad. Yeah. And two men in India were killed by a knife. I'll tell you who stabbed them or what stabbed them.
That's not a knife.
In separate fights.
That's a knife.
This is just crazy. We'll tell you about it in the World of Soup. That's coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's head to Florida. Florida man tried to rob a Publix with a stapler. Man who was out on bond for allegedly abusing a baby was arrested again last week after he tried to rob a Publix in Miami-Dade police said. Patrick Abbott, 31, who entered the Publix on Biscayne Boulevard in Miami when he handed the employer a note that said he had a gun and to put the money in the bag. After reading the note, the worker pretended to help another employee and called for help. What an idiot. Police said Abbott left empty-handed and was arrested on Northeast 50th Street while throwing his note away. As it turns out, the so-called gun Abbott had claimed to have was actually a black stapler. Why's it got to be black? Sorry. Anyway, Abbott was arrested.
Do it to yourself. There you go.
Abbott was arrested on a charge of armed robbery. Again, he was already out on bond after police said he allegedly dropped a four-month-old at a Walmart multiple times.
Really?
Just what a piece of garbage. But have you had, like, I know you've had this, but stupid cases where people are trying to rob somebody with something incredibly dumb?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fingers in the pocket.
Fingers most of the time, cell phone. You know, who, let me tell you. And you don't know because it's, you know, it's in their pocket. I had a guy try to rob me in the subway.
Did you?
Yeah, when I was working in the first precinct, where I just talked before. I'm in a suit and I run down the stairs and the gate's up. Closed. Usually when you do it, there's a sign up top saying it's closed. All of a sudden, I hear a pair of sneakers following me, bup, right down in front of me. What he doesn't know is I always carry my gun in my pocket, in my raincoat. So he's like, he comes up to me, goes, and I'm not scared now. He's like looking at me like, I know this is coming. He goes, subway closed? I go, sure looks that way. And I'm staring at him. I got my gun pointed right at his chest, and he's has no idea. And he goes, I think I better go to Chambers Street. I go, that'd be a good decision.
Yeah. We had a store. Someone tried to rob a store. We ended up catching them, and it was a beer bottle. Just had a beer bottle pointed out his goat.
Really?
Yeah. And basically, the store owner called his bluff. Mm-hmm. He said, because nobody could point a gun at you through a pocket.
Right.
And he called his bluff.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to call the police right now. You're not going to call the police. Lock the door. The guy locked the door. Now call the police. I'll kick your ass. He said, you don't have to kick my ass. You can shoot me. Mm-hmm. He called the police.
Yeah.
And the guy realized he was really called the police and ran. We called him maybe one block later.
Yeah.
Get a beer.
Yeah, if you have a gun, you're gonna show the gun.
Yeah, he will show the gun because the gun is intimidating.
Yeah.
That's what makes people intimidated, seeing the gun. If it's in your pocket, come on, I need to see the gun.
I had a number of people that were holding a gun on me trying to rob me. 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9. I'd say the odds were stacked against me.
I'm telling you, you shouldn't have bought him that joke book.
I'm sorry. I apologize to all the listeners. 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, George Santos is officially the worst person in the world. He's accused of stealing $3,000 from a disabled veteran's dog with cancer who then died. That's right. A disabled military veteran has accused New York Congressman George Santos of New York of stealing money raised to save his dying service dog, according to a Tuesday report from thepatch.com. The latest charge leveled against the freshman lawmaker who admitted to fabricating large swaths on his resume and faces multiple investigations over his finances. It's like lying is the in thing to do now. Like there's nothing. You can say whatever you want. Remember how, like, if you got caught doing something, it would be so embarrassing and you'd have to go away for a long time or a while. And I'm not talking about prison. Mm-hmm. Like, you just disappear. Now it's like you lie and you go, no, I didn't.
Right.
I
mean,
This cat's lied about everything. Like, he's... I was telling you, I saw the one meme that said he's the only surviving child of Elvis Presley now that Lisa Marie is gone. Oh! This guy's lied about everything. What is he, Jewish? He's Hispanic? He's... I mean, he's got a little bit of everything, right? He's just... And Joe, you, what was the other one that you had just heard?
Acquaintances have said that he was a drag queen in Brazil about 20 years ago. And they have a picture of him in full regalia.
Nice, nice. What do you guys think about, like, it? And it's not, look, it's not just Santos. There's so many lawmakers that just consistently are just lying about stuff. But how weird is it that, why do these people keep getting voted in?
Because... Remember that scene in The Wire that you probably showed me?
Yeah.
Off? Yeah. Because America's a pretty stupid people, by and large, to believe anything we're told.
Well, that was like the thing I posed about Dak Prescott. We gave a shovel out to the other day when I posted it on Twitter of him talking about why'd they schedule a Monday night football game when he's got a Disney cruise on Sunday.
I wanted the same reason. The same thing. Why would they do that to Dak? Jeez. Yeah. He had a cruise schedule.
Yeah. See? But everybody thought that was real and just going on.
Well, people see stuff and they believe it's real. It's on social media.
Wasn't real.
No.
How do you know it wasn't real?
I don't.
Did you ask him?
No.
So it could be real.
Okay. Maybe it is. But George Santos, $3,000 from a disabled veteran's dog with cancer who died. Jeez.
POS.
All right. Last story here. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. Two men in India were killed by knife-wielding roosters. In separate fights. You've heard me right.
What?
They're having cockfights in India, but they are now taking sharp knives and strapping them to the legs of the chickens or the roosters.
Yeah. They've always done that.
Knives?
We use your razor blades.
Really? I didn't know that. I thought it was just because their claws.
No. They've always done that.
I had no idea. So they strap sharp knives, and then when the rooster went off, it started attacking people in the crowd. And the first incident, boy, oh boy, I wish I would have pre-read this guy's name. Gandhi Surya Paksha Rao. Nailed it. 43. Had tied the blades to his...
Because we can't pronounce it, we can't correct you.
I nailed it. I know I did. Blades to his fighting rooster prior to fighting with another bird. He was fatally slashed when the cock got spooked by the crowd. Flew into the air, and the cock landed on him and stabbed him with a knife.
Yeah.
Rao's leg was slashed so severe that he bled out. Must have hit the...
femoral artery.
Yep. And he got rushed to a local hospital where he did not survive. In the second mishap, a cockfighting spectator in the East Godavari district, identified by Express as K. Padmaraju, nailed it, was slashed in the hand, and he bled out. But it remains popular in certain circles and underground gambling dens that they keep doing this. I don't know. Go ahead.
I attended one in Puerto Rico.
I don't think I could.
I mean, I've been going to Puerto Rico for 30 years, Wes, and I always stay right in the same vicinity where the arena is. They have a little stadium. It's a yellow building that they just have cockfighting in. So finally I said to my buddy Joe, I said, I really want to go. So we all went, me and a bunch of Puerto Rican cops.
It's crazy. Why is that accepted more than dogfighting?
I don't know.
Because dogs are pets.
Yeah, dogs are cute. We eat chicken. I don't know.
Yeah, but I don't even understand.
Still pretty brutal because the roosters, it's sad when they die.
You went to Puerto Rico, is that what you said?
Yeah.
When you saw it. I was in Mexico. I trained for a year.
And then you found out it was roosters?
Yeah. I'm just so disappointed.
How many push-ups can you do, Jeremy?
Just one. That's all you need. That's all you need is one. But yeah, what? Rob, no?
I used that joke a long time ago, same effect.
Anyway, that's your world of stupid. Two men killed by knives.
The thing they got me is separate incidents.
Yeah.
Shovels at 8:45, but on the other side, Chris Nockey joins us to tell us how the Terps can turn it around against the Wolverines. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I wish you all could see Jeremy's dance right now. But then again, I'm glad you can't see Jeremy's dance right now.
How white
8:31 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn joining us right now, courtesy of the Ashley Furniture Guest Hotline. He is Chris Knocke. What's going on, Coach?
All good here, Rob. Was Jeremy duck walking, or what was he doing there? Oh, I was just trying to...
He's doing the most embarrassing dance that he could do.
With an embarrassing face to go with it. Yeah, he's making all kinds of faces.
I was using my shoulders. Look, when you have gifts like this, Knocke, you share them with the world. Now, I'm sharing them... Yeah, I'm sharing them with these guys, so maybe they'll... You know, you hope it spreads, and they start dancing out in public.
I don't want to spread.
All right.
I don't want to spread. Now...
Spread like a plague.
Yeah. Chris, the last time the Terps saw Michigan, it was a complete ass whipping on New Year's Day. And I'm sure you've been through those from the wrong side of it. What did the Terps do, I guess, mentally to prepare themselves to be in this game with the Wolverines tonight?
Well, I mean, I guess the first thing you have to do is be really pissed about it. You know, yeah. I mean, it was embarrassing. It was there's no way to sugarcoat it. You pretty much called it, Rob. It was, I don't have this box score in front of me. I think it was 17-0 at one point, and it was humiliating, I think, for a lot of these guys. And I don't know if any of them had been through something quite like that. So, yeah, you got to get angry. You got to get focused. There's certain things you have to do with Michigan. It kind of starts with dealing with, you know, the big guy in the middle, Hunter Dickinson. You have to also be able to convert yourself. I thought the Terps were in that game were incredibly passive offensively. There was really nothing going to the rim. There was every shot was contested on the perimeter. So I'm sure they've had an opportunity to look at a lot of that tape. Well, nobody watches tape anymore, of course. But you know what I'm saying. They've had a chance to look at that game and hopefully remedy what happened. But it's as much mental as it is anything else. I just think it was a non-competitive effort in Ann Arbor.
They got a tough couple of games coming up ahead. They got Michigan, we just talked about the trouncing they took there. Purdue, number three in the country, Wisconsin already lost to. How do you think this shakes out for them after this little stretch here?
Well, I tell you, you know, it's one of those things where when you looked at the schedule, Big Ten schedule before the season, you knew it was front-loaded. You know, the idea is you survive the March and get to February where, you know, you're still playing a Big Ten schedule, but you get a lot more home games and not playing Purdue and Michigan twice. You know, this is one of those front-loaded things, schedules. At one point in these first 10 games, they played three consecutive road games, and that's very rare, almost unheard of. So schedule has not been kind to them. Not that there are any breaks in the Big Ten schedule, but you have to survive it and put yourself in a position where health-wise and sort of psychologically speaking, you're in a chance to capitalize in February. And that's really the only way you can look at it. It was front-loaded. We knew that. And it breaks a little differently after February 1st.
Seeing it about halfway through the season, what do you think, Coach Willard?
Well, I mean, I think he's doing as good a job as he could do. I think that... Yeah, I think the team is limited. I think it's particularly limited on the bench. I think the starters are certainly good enough. Jameer Young, as your point guard, has had a very good season and continues to play at a really high level. I think that the bench has been problematic. It didn't help when you go to Iowa and Patrick Amelian was not available to play. He's your first sub in off the bench in interior position. So, you know, Kevin's a very intense guy. He's, you know, he wants to be good. There's no question about it. And I think he's, I think it's been sort of a reality check going through the Big Ten. I mean, I think there's no question Kevin knew that these were good basketball teams, good basketball programs. Mm-hmm. It's just you go into all these games and there's no empty gyms. You know, there's no sterile environment. You go to Iowa on a NFL Sunday and, you know, the people are hanging from the rafters. And that's just Iowa. Everybody else is kind of the same way. And it's a league full of very difficult places to play. So I think he's figuring all that along the way, along with, you know, some new referees he's dealing with, too. So big learning curve for him, but he's a very, very good basketball coach.
Here with Chris Knocke joining us. He's the voice of the Terps, color analyst. You can hear him right here on 105.7 The Fan tonight as the Terps take on the Michigan Wolverines. The tip-off is at 7 o'clock. Chris, I'm so glad you said that when you were asked by Jeremy, what do you think of Coach Willard? because a lot of folks don't understand, you know, adding a coach is not magic. You know, you still have to have the guys that execute and carry out. And I'm not putting down the players, but these aren't the players that to execute his system. You know, first thing you got to do as a coach is come in and figure out what you have and what you don't have. And now he can go out and beat the streets and find kids that fit his system. And I agree with you. I think he's doing as good of a job as he can with this roster.
And I think that he went out and signed some guys early that he's going to be very comfortable with.
Yes.
In terms of playing that system. I think they still need to find some big men for depth for sure. And then I think there'll be a quantum leap if he's able to do that. But it's a heck of a learning curve. And I know he was at a good basketball program before this. Seton Hall is very good. Big East is very good. It's just a different kettle of fish and just a big difference in terms of the change.
So we were talking about Michigan, but it's so funny to look up here and you see you got Purdue two more times. What have you thought of them? I know I'm getting ahead of myself because you got Michigan next, but what do you think of Purdue?
Well, I mean, they've got the dinosaur. They got the T-Rex, right, mm-hmm. of college basketball, Zach Edey. Nobody quite like him. There's nothing like getting a boatload of easy baskets, which he gives you. But even more than that, he's assertive. He's aggressive. He gets you double doubles. He's going after the ball off the backboards. So, I mean, he's a load. And when you have a guy like that who's so unique, he commands so much attention in there. Guys are going to be open out on the perimeter. And it's sort of a pick your poison situation. We played as well. I didn't play, but Maryland played as well as they could last year against Purdue at Purdue. He did everything but win that game. And the reason why they were in a position to win the game down the stretch, they had the ball down one. The reason why they were in position to win the game is because they had a point guard in Fats Russell who dominated that game. And I think that's the only way you go in there and give yourself a chance. You got to have a great game out of Jameer Young as your point guard. I don't think they have anybody quite like him. And they didn't have anybody like Fats last year who was able to make shots outside and get to the rim. So, I mean, that's a tall task, as are all these games on the road.
There he is. Thanks a lot, Coach. Looking forward to hearing you tonight.
All right, boys. Appreciate it.
All right, man. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Let's get Antonio in Rosedale. What's up, Antonio?
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. Do you expect any surprises during the Ravens' end of the season news press conference today? And you guys have a wonderful day.
You have a wonderful day as well. And no, I'm not expecting any surprises.
No, I'm expecting to say we're looking at everything. When they're going to be asked about Lamar, they're going to be asked about Roman, they're going to say we're evaluating everything, every position, every coaching position, and we'll let you know when we know. That'll be that.
What would they say when they ask about Roman?
Exactly.
Oh,
that.
You just said that? Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jeremy?
I know what I want him to say. We just saw that, and
I find it really hard to believe he came out and say we were making a replacement of the offense coordinator.
Today, you mean?
Yeah, today.
Possibly, but got to say something today, right?
You're going to say they're evaluating him.
I mean, is this going to be a big nothing today? Like,
yes, it's always nothing.
Yeah, we're not going to get anything out of it.
I went to those things, and we all went to those things at the end of the year. They never really say anything.
They do more than they say. You know, my old expression, when it's all said and done, there's more said than done.
Yeah.
I think the Ravens are the opposite of that. When it's all said and done, there's more done than said. They don't tell you their next move. They just move. So I don't expect – when I say I don't expect anything today, it's not an indictment on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just telling you how they operate.
Yeah.
They don't let you know what they're doing.
Right. You know, you don't become a self-made billionaire by, you know, giving out your trade secrets.
Jeremy and I debate the best of the NBA at 9:15, but on the other side. Ed Norris, you got some shovels for us?
Oh, yeah. I've been waiting to tell this one. I'm giving the shovel to my wife.
Oh.
Something happened yesterday that really got my attention, and it's a real concern for me. A real concern. My health.
Really? Be okay?
I don't know.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter at 1057 The Fan. Hashtag BBMS, hashtag shovels next.
The biggest idiots deserve the big bad shovel of wisdom. Sponsored by Jerry's Toyota.
And their exclusive benefits, including free service maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles. Visit Jerry's Toyota just north of the Beltway on Bel Air Road and online at jerrystoyota.com.
105.7 The Fan.
We're giving out shovels at 8:47 in the a.m. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at 1057TheFan, hashtag BBMS. Hashtag shovels. Ed Norris, get your shovel this morning.
I can't decide between I give it to my wife or myself, but hit the shovel, but it's one of us. Now, you both know her. I wanted to marry Celeste 12 years ago. Finally got her to say yes. I think she's beautiful, funny, loving, but she's loud. Just a loud talking voice. And I've always, and when she starts getting excited, sometimes it actually hurts my ears. I've told us. So you really indoor voice.
Do you know she's not listening right now, or is she listening?
Oh, she's listening. So anyway, what I do every day, the routine goes on Sierra often enough, but I call her as soon as I leave the show. You know, as soon as I get in the car.
You're heading down to Florida after the show, right?
Yeah.
Do we follow the missing persons report now, Rob, or do we wait?
No,
we
won't be missing. Okay. Whatever she does, it's going to be in plain sight. We'll find
anyway. I'm sitting in the car yesterday. I'm sitting in the car yesterday talking to her. It's hard to get through a story here. It's like. So we're having a regular conversation. But you know, I have the new smartwatch now. I had one, I didn't wear it, and she got me one. So I'm sitting in the car, and all of a sudden the watch starts buzzing. I look down at the watch as we're on the phone, and it says 95 decibels. Repeated long-term exposure to sounds at this level can damage your hearing. She was talking at 95 decibels. Do you know what the equivalent of 95 decibels is? A lawnmower, a subway train at 200 feet, a motorcycle engine. You know when it becomes dangerous? Over 90 decibels. You can only be exposed to 95 decibels for 4 hours a day maximum, or you're going to suffer permanent hearing loss.
How does she get that loud?
It just is. Very animated. Big personality. But I'm just thinking about this. Like, by the time I'm really old, not only will I probably not be able to walk because of my, spinal stenosis, I won't be able to hear either. But at least I won't be able to yell. If she yells at me, I won't be able to hear it. Because of all these years of being exposed to 95 decibels or above. And I just want, if any of her friends are out there, please text her and tell her you heard this. Because I want to see what their opinions are. A lot of her friends listen to the show.
Ladies loud.
Jeremy Kahn.
Well, we talked about this off the air yesterday, but a scary moment in Auburn, Washington, where did you get a premature shovel?
My hand just kind of bit.
What the hell, man?
Wow.
You have that problem often?
It does. I get nervous. Fire truck.
A bikini barista recalls the moment a man tried to pull her through the drive-through window. So I'm giving it to this lunatic that tried to grab this woman and pull her through a drive-through window. I showed you guys the video. Rob, you and I, I always get amazed at watching Ed watch videos of things that would scare most people. And he's like, And then I start asking questions. I'm like, why is the camera there? And he's like, that's so they can get the license plate when he drives away. Makes sense. Didn't think about it. The way it was positioned. Because you can barely see the guy's face. But he literally, as the woman is giving him $5 in change, grabs her arm and tries to pull her out the window. Now, the thing I learned about this place is it's called Beankini. So I guess it's like almost like a Starbucks meets Hooters type thing. Women are scantily clad, dressed, and serving you coffee. That's my assumption with this, because I've never been to this place. But yeah, dressed in lingerie or bikinis, and he tried to yank the woman through the drive-through window at 5 a.m. in the morning. Unbelievable.
Which would be a time when a lot of people aren't moving, people are slower to respond. Yeah, well.
It is crazy when you watch the video, man.
Yeah. My shovel goes to the critics of one Eric DaCosta. He can't draft, he can't do this. Tyler Lindenbaum makes ESPN's top 10 rookie list. Three Ravens named NFL.com analysts all rookie team. Roquan Smith just signed a 5-year, $100 million deal obtained in a trade. We're talking about whether or not Marcus Peters will resign, but look at the years you got out of him. You got to keep going on. Was asking why can't Isaiah Likely be used along with Mark Andrews? On and on. Yet, for people who have the narrative of how bad he is, you keep ignoring all of the good that's being done right before your very eyes.
Yeah.
Three on the all-rookie team for NFL.com. Your center is a top 10 rookie by ESPN. Oh, those guys don't matter. It never matters when it doesn't fit your narrative. So this year alone, three outstanding rookies. Outstanding means they stand out. When they get pointed, when they get pointed to all-rookie stuff, that means they stand out. So they're outstanding. And a trade that turned your entire defense around. Now you're talking about extending another linebacker who you weren't sure about because the new linebacker that he brought in makes that other guy look good. So what else did he do? Should he call the plays too?
This is a classic example of you. One of the phrases you like to use. Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story.
Absolutely.
Because the facts are so clear that he's doing a good job. It's like,
hey, if I buy you a great steak and you decide to grind it and make it a hamburger, ain't my fault. I bought you a great steak.
Yeah.
You screwed it up.
Yeah.
He's bringing in good players.
Yep.
What you do with it is on you. I brought you the speed on the perimeter. I brought you a hybrid tight end. I brought you two outstanding running backs. I gave you all of that.
Yeah.
And what you do with it is not on me. It's on you. That's so when those guys go other places and they succeed, don't look at me. I told you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm giving you these perimeter players and you're asking me, well, can they block? Care if they can block. They can run past people.
Mm-hmm.
If they're blocking, that means they're in front of them. Run. How about you do what these guys, what they're intended to do? That's run, like, really fast. Like pass people. Like, get the ball out there. Like, put them in space. Like, run some rub routes to get them in space. Do something creative, because I'm giving you the pieces. But no, some of you will continue the narrative that he's a bad GM. It's nonsense. Absolute nonsense. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. He went out and got Roquan Smith. The best linebacker. Not only got him, but hey, I don't know if Roquan Smith's going to hang around here.
Look at what he got.
Marcus, 5 years.
Yeah. Marcus Peters.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, I know. It's just
unreal, man. Did he bring in Calais Campbell?
Yeah.
And Calais brought him, signed him. I mean, what? Seriously, what else? Jeremy and I will debate the best in the NBA at 9:15. But on the other side, Wally Williams joins us talking some football right here on The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.